Welcome to the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America with Tim Matthews and Frank Bassett. Take it away, boys.
And we will take it away. Hello, everybody. This is Tim Matthews, and welcome to Golf Talk America. Thank you so much for being with us. We've got a wonderful show coming your way. As a matter of fact, we're going to have to talk to Mark Zucchino. He's on a very limited time budget here, so we're going to have to go very, 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 very fast to get through it in time for him to start talking to his other friends. So in the meantime, Frank Bassett in the Nashville studios. How you doing, Frank?
I'm doing great.
Okay,
it's just like
I'm picturing Mark Zucchino in like a 76 Vega driving across state in Florida, heading for Innisbrook, where he is heading to do the Valspar Championship this weekend.
What are those blue lights in my rearview mirror?
And he's trying to get there, by God, before he has to worry about it. There he is. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Yes, the Florida swing continues. And, you know, I'm going right from Golf Talk America straight into Golf Talk Canada, straight into PGA Tour Radio. That's my Wednesday. So it's been crazy. Last week was nuts. The Players Championship, what an amazing Sunday. That was crazy. So hopefully we get a good one over here at Innisbrook.
Sundays are always fun in Ponte Vedra Beach, but this Sunday was something pretty doggone special. And, you know, thank God we finally had a really exciting finish in a tournament. I mean, it was great. You know, just it was exciting. You were there. You were on the call. You were Sunday with the last group, and Wyndham Clark. And give us some insight into what it was like out there. What was the feel? What was the electricity?
It was awesome. Place was jam packed. Everybody was in it for so long. We got a good duel back at the WM between, you know, Nick Taylor and Sahith Theegala, but that was really kind of one-on-one scenario. And, you know, that might be a bigger story north of the border than it is elsewhere. Even though Nick's star has risen quite a bit, it's still a bigger story north of the border than it is, you know, elsewhere. This time around, you know, we had household names. We had the number one player in the world. We had Wyndham Clark. We had Xander Schauffele. We had Brian Harman, and everybody kind of in it to the very end. It was so bloody exciting. The place was electric. And that finish, guys, I mean, I say it all the time. But, you know, Pete Dye was a genius. He was ahead of his time. Everybody crapped on him in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
When they thought his golf courses were too hard to play. And you know what? In the 80s, they likely were, with a lot of golf balls and persimmon woods and whatnot. But he was ahead of his time. Those golf courses have stood the test of time with not a lot done to them. Cosmetically, obviously, a lot done to that Players Championship course, Players Stadium course. It looks like Augusta National now. It looks unbelievable. But, I mean, in terms of just the fundamental design of places like PGA West, TPC Sawgrass, Kiawah Island, Whistling Straits, I mean, these things just stand up. And they're taking center stage. If you take the long look on where majors are going to be and Ryder Cups are going to be and things like that, that golf course, that finish gives us some of the best drama year in and year out. And this year was, I think, as good as it gets.
Yeah, it was the best finish I've seen in a long time. And it came at a very important time when everything that's going on is going on in golf, and all the naysayers and the soothsayers and the whatever you want to call them are out there talking and social media just poo-pooing everything. This was exciting. It was compelling to watch. This is one of the first times I've had to sit here and watch it on TV and not be there, and it just killed me not to be out there with you guys. Ugh, I was dying. Tim knows. Tim's laughing. He knows. This is my favorite tournament of the year. The Masters is second to me.
The Scotch just tastes better there, doesn't it, Frank?
The Glenlivet does taste better in Ponte Vedra Beach. Yes, it does.
See, I know. Yeah.
It is my favorite tournament of the year as well. And with the way professional golf is going, it was good to get a bounce. And hopefully that's the first of a few bounces where people can start feeling good about everything again. But that was – Sunday was really about everything that's great about professional golf for a change. So it was the timing was excellent.
Hey, Mark, I'm curious, too, and again, we're talking with Mark Zucchino with PGA Tour Radio. with Golf Talk Canada, with Golf Talk Portugal, and every other Golf Talk known to man, which will fill his day today. Did you have any doubts that the way it transpired would happen, and that is, would Scottie Scheffler be able to come from behind and do what he did? And would, once that happened in the last few holes, did you think that the guys trying to chase Scottie would catch him or not? Because I had a feeling once he took the lead and finished ahead of those guys, and Schauffele and Wyndham Clark, I was texting some friends of mine saying, I don't think these guys are going to hit the shots they need to hit and make the birdies they need to make to catch him. Not that I'm the great foreseer of everything, but I just didn't have that feeling. Did it play out the way you thought it did, or did you think something else might happen?
Well, I picked Scottie Scheffler before the week started, and then on Thursday night, after his solid opening round, I told everybody on our team that this tournament was over, that Scottie Scheffler is going to win it. And the only moment of doubt I ever had was when he went for the neck on Friday and barely finished. I mean, the only thing that was going to stop Scottie Scheffler this week was an injury, an unforeseen injury that none of us saw coming. And that was the only thing. And it almost did. He practically won this golf tournament in three rounds. Friday, he held on for bare life and kind of, you know, Friday was almost a wash. So he played three rounds, in my opinion, of championship golf fairly healthy and won this golf tournament. Spotted his score in 54 holes against the rest of his field in 72 holes. So I thought that no one was going to catch him. To answer your question, I was with you. I thought this thing's over. And then I got pleasantly surprised because although no one did catch him, you got to give kudos, hats off to Brian Harman and to Wyndham Clark. You know, those guys took their shots. Wyndham Clark shot at the flag on 16, best drive of the day, best approach of the day. Then again on 17, flag hunting. Then again on 18, narrow miss on the eagle on the putt from 11 feet on 16, and then one of the worst slipouts you're ever going to see. But he went, you know, full green light on flags that, you know, really put the fear of God into people. That back left on 16 up against the water, there wasn't a lot of golf balls creeping up close against that flag all day, let me tell you.
Nope.
So I got to give my credit to those guys because I thought that Wyndham Clark and Brian Harman gave a much bigger push and a much bigger charge late on Sunday than I anticipated. I really thought, especially after Clark's start, it would have been really easy for Wyndham Clark to just kind of wilt away because he just couldn't get out of the blocks. And he didn't. At the end of the day, it was he who got the closest. And I think if you're a big name player and someone who had a chance to win this golf tournament, the one that is likely disappointed the most is probably Xander Schauffele. He was the one that did not need to do anything special. He was the one that just needed to plod his way along. He had real estate in his favor when he birdied the 12th hole from a brutally difficult up and down. That up and down he made on 12 up against the collar behind the greens was way harder than he made it look. He walked off that 12th green, and he was in a great spot. And that was it. Could not get it done. And I think he's the player, if I'm thinking, okay, you know, who's cup half full, who's cup half empty on a Monday after the Players? I think Xander's the one with the cup half empty.
Yeah, I really think it was a precursor to what was to occur at the end of this tournament for Wyndham Clark because, you know, early on, he could not get his putter working for him. It just seemed like it was ice cold on him. And in the end, his putter is what failed him. So, you know, he dropped out. By my count, he lost four strokes out of the blocks, just in barely missing putts.
Missed an eagle putt on the second hole. I really thought the second hole was going to be a big momentum builder. I mean, he hit the shot of the day on the two par fives. Think about this, guys. On number two and on number 16, he hits the best of the day, and he's unable to convert. And the one on two was just outside 5 feet, and he missed an eagle putt. And still had 3 feet coming back for the birdie. He just tried to jam it and ram it, you know, and almost three putt. It would have been disastrous, but you know, he's a streaky putter. I was with him on the Saturday at Pebble Beach when he shot 60 earlier this year and going on to win that 54-hole event. He made 190 feet of putts on those greens that Saturday at Pebble Beach. It was drenched, soaking wet broccoli. I don't know how you make 5 feet of putts, never mind 190 feet of putts. So he's the kind of guy that when the hole opens up early and he sees one or two go in early, he thinks he's going to make them all. But he's also the same type of guy where if he misses a couple early and doesn't kind of get see that hole open up, he tends to fight it the rest of the day. And the story of this golf tournament for him is very much that. On Thursday and Friday, his putter was working early, and he was in the top five in strokes gained putting on both days. On Friday, he destroyed the field in strokes gained putting. He was number one. And I believe, off the top of my head, through two rounds of golf, he was seven shots better than the field through the first 2 days in strokes gained putting. And then you take a look at what he did on the weekend, and it was a complete reversal of fortune with the putter. So it's a strange, strange game, guys. And putting is, you know, but Ben Hogan said, you know, the sport within a sport. He would have, you know, Hogan wanted to make the holes bigger and give points away for greens and regulation. I think Wyndham Clark probably felt like that on Sunday.
I'll tell you what I thought too was at the end of this, no matter what happened, and it kind of did play out the way I thought it might, but I said to whoever, random friends, I said, the good thing about this is we're looking at all Americans that are going for the gold, if you will, trying to win this tournament, and they're all needing to hit clutch shots against the best players in the world. In Scotty's case, the best player in the world. I think that's a benefit. That's a helpful experience for those guys when it comes to the events that we all pull for all these guys, because we all have our different favorites. I don't like Harmon so much. I don't like this, but I like Scott. Everybody's got their favorites. But when you play Ryder Cup and President's Cup, we all love them all. These guys need those experiences. They need to make or have an opportunity to make clutch putts with a lot on the line from 10 feet, from 12 feet, to hit a wedge shot. They get you. They need that stuff. So I thought it was a benefit, even though they didn't hit the shots in those cases other than Scotty, from that standpoint. That's how I looked at it. I said, okay, well, maybe this will pay off, right? The fact that they – Wyndham Clark almost tied it. Damn thing went around the cup a couple of times. So I think that's how I looked at it. I'm like, okay, you guys then put this to good use.
Well, at some point. And from an American standpoint, and obviously a President's Cup year this year, but you've got in that final hour of storyline, you've got the world's number one player. And in my opinion, as long as the putter is average, like as long as the putter isn't throwing up all over itself and it's just average, Scottie Scheffler's on a completely different level. I don't think anybody can touch this man, okay?
Exactly.
And then you've got the reigning gold medalist, right? You've got the reigning gold medalist, you've got the reigning U.S. Open champion, and you've got the reigning Open champion. All four of those players, all American, right? All going to be in Montreal playing for the President's Cup team. And you know something else that I kind of, I don't know if this ever crossed your mind. It crossed my mind on Monday when I was digesting it and doing some Golf Talk Canada work. You know, Wyndham Clark, he primarily hits that golf ball left to right. You know, when he won at Pebble Beach, he had to basically aim it out in Carmel Bay and swing it back to that fairway at 18. At the U.S. Open at LACC, he was dealing with the widest fairways we've ever seen in the U.S. Open, and he's like hitting like a 40-yard bleeder left to right. The Sunday night at Point of Idra, he snuck that cut in the places you're not supposed to sneak it. Like 16 was a perfect example. He is holding that driver right up about a yard against those tall pines up the left and bleeding that cut down the fairway to the middle. Everybody else in the field's aiming it up the right and swinging a draw. He's refusing to go off of this cut. And what crossed my mind was if he can hit that tee shot here at 16, hit that tee shot here at number two, I'm just thinking of all those key drives that move left to right at Sawgrass. Then who's to say Wyndham Clark can't hit that cut on all those right to left holes at Augusta in 3 weeks?
I agree.
You know, there's everybody goes around Augusta thinking I need to hit draw. Well, Golden Bear won six green jackets hitting a big fade around Augusta. So if Clark can do it at Sawgrass, why not at Augusta?
Well, it's going to be interesting, but Clark will be at the tournament that you'll be calling this week also for us, and that's the Valspar. I'm anxious to see how he does at Valspar after coming off that gut-wrenching putt.
I didn't realize he was in the field. I did not see his name.
My understanding is they said it last night, or I'm, you know, I was too much in the hooch, that he was going to bid. And it could very well be that.
Well, I know Brian Harmon. I know Brian Harmon is, and Harmon, I know Xander Schauffele is.
I thought they said. I thought they said. Harmon, yeah, but I could be wrong. I could be wrong.
Harmon's one of the favorites. I saw that. You know, this is obviously Innisbrook Copperhead, Waters Golf Course. You got to think Brian Harmon would love this place. I would be worried. Listen, I think Brian Harmon is going to do great this week. I would be worried on guys like Xander and Harmon after what they kind of put themselves through emotionally and mentally last week.
Yeah.
Just fatigue. What do you have left in the tank? Do they come here with momentum or do they come here exhausted? I think they got to get through Thursday. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but I mean, if they do well on Thursday and look like they still have their A game with them, then I think you're likely fatigue's not an issue. Maybe when you get to Sunday, fatigue might be an issue, but I think they're kind of over that initial hump. I think if they have rough opening rounds, I think our questions answered pretty quickly. These guys need a few days off. I know, you know, Nick Taylor was talking about it. Nick Taylor's played a lot of golf this year. Again, won that playoff against the HIF in the WM. And after 36 holes at the Players, he was, you know, in the penultimate group on Saturday in a position to be part of this golf tournament. He ran out of gas. He's exhausted. And Nick's playing this week, too. And I mean, from a Canadian perspective, from a, you know, from a jealous or like a selfish perspective, I was hoping Nick was going to withdraw. I mean, he needs some downtime. And I mean, by the time we get to Augusta, if he doesn't get that downtime, he's going to be fried. So, I mean, I'm surprised, you know, Cantlie withdrew from the event this week. I'm surprised we didn't have more guys say, I need a break. Florida Swing's been hard. It's been tough. Players Championship was a major. I need to exhale here.
Yeah,
I checked on it. Wyndham Clark is in the field.
He is. Okay, I thought I heard that. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. So
is Tim Clark, by the way. So that, just keep that in mind.
I'm just kidding. Oh, jeez.
Not to be confused. A little South African.
I don't think they will confuse those two. I don't think that'll be a problem.
Frank, Mark's probably got to cut out.
Yeah,
here.
He does.
Are you ready to make another phone? Yeah, got to get on with Canada. Yeah, so we want to
off the Golf Talk Canada, gentlemen. We go from Golf Talk America right into Golf Talk Canada. I'm just doing a virtual jump over the border.
Well, tell the boys at Golf Talk Canada that Golf Talk America says hello, and sooner or later we're going to do a joint show together. That would be a blast.
Yes, we should do it at like a listener's Ryder Cup or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah.
And Frank, instead of Glenn Levitt, we could do Crown Royal.
We can do both.
Can we do both?
Hey.
There you go.
Remember, I am a professional. Okay.
Hey, thank you so much, Mark. We appreciate it. Good luck to your Maple Leafs, by the way. Playoffs coming up in a little bit. So
we'll
keep track of those guys. They're doing all right. They're having a pretty good year. So good
all
luck
right.
to them and continue to success.
Hey, it's great to have you. Hey, tell your beautiful bride we said hello.
I will, and vice versa, and I hope to bump into you guys somewhere around Masters. I hope to see you in person, and if not, talk soon, okay?
Talk soon. All we'll see you in Augusta. See you, pal.
Take care.
Bye.
Mark Cicchino.
All right, ciao, guys.
PGA Tour Radio, and he's literally got about 3 minutes to catch his breath and take some drink of Coke or something and get on with somebody else. So busy guy, but a lot of fun and great gig.
I really, before we take a break, I got to tell you this. I wanted to say while I had him, hey, Mark, I'm going to give you a line to use at the Valspar this week to Mark Zucchino at number 16. And he can say, well, let me paint a picture of this hole for you.
Ha 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 ha. Get it? Paint it? Paint?
I just thought that was ingenious.
Wow.
I'm in Nashville. Maybe that could be a song.
And, you know, it's nothing that broadcasters like more than having someone recommend things that they could say.
I know. Right? That's what
it's like telling
do
them,
it.
It's like telling them, hey, Zucchino, I know you don't have a lot of clever thoughts in your mind, so let me give you a couple of things that maybe you'd like to throw out there. I'm just saying.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, we do have to talk because we'll take a break, but we are going to talk about what happened in the Bahamas on Monday, which came right after Mark and everybody made the great calls and the great putts and everything else at Sawgrass. A few guys traveled across the Straits of Florida or something to get to the Bahamas, and some drama there too, which I'll keep you on the edge of your seats, and we'll come back and we'll talk about it. In the meantime, let's take a quick break. You're listening to Golf Talk America, and Frank and I will be back right after this.
When PXG says nobody makes golf clubs the way they do, they're not lying. The PXG clubs I have are absolutely incredible. So when I heard about their new Black Ops driver, the driver that promises you don't have to sacrifice distance for forgiveness, okay, I had to try it, of course. I went to a PXG location for a fitting. And I have to tell you, it was an incredible experience. From the moment I got there, we went through my existing driver. Then we started playing with the new Black Ops. Some different shaft, put my shaft in it, put different weights in it. Spent about an hour, really, going through it. And at the end of the day, I was tagging it longer, straighter, better club head speed going through the ball. I was so impressed, I have to tell you. I didn't think my driver could be beaten, and it was. The PXG Black Ops driver is a breakthrough in driver technology. It's a complete and total victory in golf club engineering, unlike anything you've ever seen before. Black Ops drivers, as I said earlier, are adjustable to deliver a combined MOI of 10,000 plus for unreal forgiveness. That's ridiculously high. The higher the MOI, the more forgiving the club will play. So you don't have to square the ball perfectly for it to go straight and get distance. Do you square the ball perfectly? I know I don't every time. Neither do the PGA Tour pros. So let's be real. Add PXG's new advanced material face technology, and you get incredible ball speed that pushes distance to the absolute limits. More forgiveness, more distance, and no sacrifices. So here's what I want you to do. Game Changer's been thrown around so much, it's lost its meaning. Trust me when I tell you the PXG driver is a true game changer. You'll be as impressed with it as I am. Learn more and get free shipping on all equipment at pxg.com/GTA. That's pxg.com/GTA for free shipping on all equipment. pxg.com/GTA.
And welcome back, Golf Talk America, to Matthews and Frank Bassett.
Hello.
I hope my comment was right there, wasn't it, Frank?
What's
Crown
that?
Royal is Canadian whiskey. Is that right? In honor of Mark?
I don't know if Crown Royal is. I know that Canadian Club is.
Thank you very much.
Hello.
For that one.
I mean, hey, I went to college.
I'm pretty sure that Crown Royal is Canadian whiskey. So
yeah,
okay. There you
All
go.
Right. You're looking it up as we speak.
And by the way, Frank, another little trivia for you.
Yes.
Different parts of the world spell whiskey with an E, and some do not have an E. And Canada is one of the odd ones. It's like Canada and Great Britain spell it with an E or without an E, and every, the rest of the world puts an E in there or something.
That's because those people are pickled most of the time because the weather sucks in Canada and sucks in England.
I think it's because Canadians are still ever bowing to the knee of the royal family. So, if whatever they do, we'll do the same thing. Like, kind of break away, Canada. Come on, man.
Really?
Do your own thing.
I think their prime minister tried to. Anyway, we won't go there. That's for another show.
I lived in Canada for 7 years, so I enjoyed it.
But free healthcare.
They are an overly polite country.
Yes, they are.
who hit you with
Much
their car and
unlike
apologize.
Us,
I'm sorry,
you know?
I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And then, then you got probably the other side.
You got people from Chicago, you know? Oh, sorry, Mark. Sorry, Tim.
Beating the hell out of each other. I know.
That's everywhere.
Two different worlds.
You know, Nashville right now, just as a side note, Nashville is the capital of missing persons right now.
You had that one guy that I was reading about, right? Some guys are, I don't know if it's spring break.
University of Missouri down here.
Yeah, right. Still hasn't been found, I guess, right?
No, they found some credit cards on the riverbank, I think.
That's not a good thing.
That's not good. And we've got it's crazy. Nashville's a great town. It's a lot of fun. Just be careful when you come here, folks. Just be careful. Watch yourself.
Cities, right? I mean, no matter.
And you never know
where you go.
Never leave your drink. And this is something I learned. And we all should practice this. Never sit your drink down and turn around away from it and start talking to somebody at the bar. I always keep mine in my hand and I watch it.
Yeah, because doesn't matter.
People are
you
crazy.
Could be a male, female, older, younger. It doesn't matter. There's some bad people out there that might slip something, and you got to be very careful. You're right about that.
You know
that
what the safest place to drink is?
A home?
No, God, no. That's where I fell.
On your couch, I would think would be safe.
I would say probably at a golf tournament.
Yeah. It's, you know, you don't hear. I will say this: you do not hear about a lot of violent things. Now I know it got crazy at Phoenix. It always gets crazy at Phoenix.
But
you don't hear as far as sporting events. Like you watch, and I do too. We can almost week after week go to TMZ or somewhere, and you'll see a fight at a Rams 49ers game, right? At a Cowboys Eagles
Girl Scouts mud wrestling event.
There'll be fans up in the stands knocking each other. That happens at football and baseball. But you're right. At golf, very seldom do you see guys in their flipped up collar polo shirts in an all out battle swinging at each other. It just doesn't seem to happen. Maybe they're more civil. Maybe. Seems like it.
Gavin Newsom was there. Oh, okay.
Yeah, really.
Just somebody tell that guy that we did that in the 70s, okay? You don't flip up your polo collar anymore and wear your sweater on your back with the tie in the front, the sleeve.
Now, hang on a second. Now, this is coming from a guy who has parched button down white shirts.
Right? That looks good.
And starch pants.
Khakis, yeah.
That looks good, though. What I mean? See, if it's you, it looks good.
Well, yeah, but I don't hang a sweater around my neck like that.
Oh, no.
Jeez, or flip up my polo collar. Although I used to. I like that look. That's really good look, but I'm a little too old for that. You know what's even worse is to see old men wearing these hoodies with – I saw one guy on TV. It says Glock across the front of it. Well, that's a dead giveaway.
Really?
That's a dead giveaway. Hey, I'm packing. Shoot me first.
While we're into age-appropriate attire, I also have a problem with anybody. Probably I'll make the cutoff at about 35, putting the baseball cap on backwards.
That just
wears me out. I'm like a 40-year-old guy. I'm like, dude, come on. I mean, if you're 16 or something, you can do it. You get away with a lot of stuff. But it's like the woman who's trying to squeeze into the tight jeans to look like her teenage daughter. No, it doesn't lurk. Good.
Doesn't work. Don't turn them against us.
And the backwards hat, Tony Romo, doesn't work when you get to be 40 years old. So cut it out.
You know, it is what it is. Hey,
okay.
I heard that there were some private jets in the Bahamas yesterday.
So a question I have for you, Frank, is... Mm-hmm. And we'll be talking about this, what happened in the Bahamas, and that is that there was a meeting between LIV Golf and PJ Tour and see how this can all get worked out. We've been talking about it for about 17 years now, but let's see if they can finally get together. But a question I had is they knew, got an inkling that this was happening, the golf world did, and then they have, as you know, ways to track people's private jets, right?
Yes.
Whether they're corporate jets or personal jets or... They said that they tracked Tiger's yacht and his plane to Albany.
Well, his yacht is always down in – he keeps it in Albany most of the time.
Well, I guess, but I'm wondering, do you need both to go across?
Well, yeah.
I mean, he lives in Jupiter.
I overpack when I travel.
He took the plane and came back and got his jet – I mean, and got his yacht and went back on the yacht or something. Like, holy jeez, Tiger. Which costs more, Frank, to go from –
The yacht.
The yacht would cost more expense-wise to take that across.
Yeah, of course.
Really?
I would think so.
Well, you do have a crew of about 10, don't you?
Not that many, I don't think, on that yacht. But
I bet you do.
About 5 or 6, at least.
I bet no, because isn't it like a 190 footer?
It's
200 footer.
It's a big
something?
Boy toy. Yeah.
Yeah. I, think
I don't
you
know.
Do have
it's maybe so.
A lot of people.
But,
I have a friend who had it. Who had it?
Guess what? I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I had a friend who had his dad. His dad had a 150 foot yacht. Or something like that. It's a big, big thing. And they had a permanent crew of 10 with that size.
Maybe
so it's crazy.
I had a 40-foot boat.
Anyway, sorry. And a crew of one?
No, you know what? I would never go out on it by myself. I'd always take at least one other person with me. Only because it was a Sea Ray 400 Express, okay? When you hit that boat and you start coming out of it's a big, long snout on that thing. And you can't see. You've got to have somebody else helping you watch. Or you'll run over something.
When you say this, Frank, I don't know why, but what comes to mind is Tony Soprano in his boat out in New Jersey. The Stugatz, right? That's the name of his boat, the Stugatz. Here's Frank out in his boat, like, out of the way. Everybody,
it's
out of the way.
That's like Dangerfield coming in Caddyshack, you know? running same over thing. The dinghy. I did slam into the dock one time with my boat. Yeah. Anyway, it's not about us. This is about Jay Monahan's jet, the PGA Tour. I don't know.
Tracked.
It's there in the Bahamas.
Yasser Al
Yasser
Rumayyan. I'm saying it wrong, but that's you guys Rumayyan. Know who I'm talking
Rumayyan.
About. Rumayyan. Yeah. He is the governor of the Saudi Arabian Public Investment Fund, and he was there. Mm-hmm. And basically, as Monahan said, for him to kind of meet with Cantlay and Spieth,
Tiger played golf with him. Rumor is Tiger played nine holes with him.
Yeah, to kind of all get to know each other a little bit better. And now Monahan, who has completely flipped his script from being secretive and FBI CIA-ish to let's just tell everybody and everybody's going to be happy with each other and I'll announce to everybody and I'll talk to the media about what we're doing. So I guess he's learned his lesson from enough people still saying.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, trying to learn his lesson about people saying we do not like the way this shook out a year ago and they're still mad about it. And Shoffley and those guys still comment that I've lost a lot of trust in them, blah, blah, blah. So I think he's trying to say, okay, I'm going
to
go the other way.
His job.
Yeah, I'm going to go the other way. And what a job, right? I mean, now he's – he's make $20 million a year. He's got his jet.
But it's you know, commission.
He's got the prestige.
Tour. Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's a pretty cool thing. So they're trying to figure out what exactly they can do. And Monahan's quotes were, well, we're just seeing what's the best and getting a conversation going to do our due diligence for selecting potential investors. And the funny thing is that the wording he says sometimes, I look into it, seems to me that he still could be pissing off LIV Tour because now we're a potential investor. Whereas when this all came out and he said, here, we got an agreement, it was all about PGA Tour hooking their wagon to the LIV and to the to
well, the PGA Tour, right? The PGA Tour was in the toilet and the paper was half flushed. I mean, it was gone.
Yeah, yeah.
And they had to do something. And so, you know, we've talked about this ad nauseum. But the tour got out hoodwinked, okay? You know, they got out. The bully got bullied is what happened, basically, is what a lot of people are saying. And could be because you're not going to run out of money when you have almost, you know, over
a trillion.
Yeah, $1 trillion. You're making more money by the minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
as much as they might be losing, and people keep bringing that part up about why, like, how they just keep spending money.
Because
they can keep spending money.
They're losing.
Yes, yes. I mean, just let the interest.
Yeah.
You can imagine
Ask
how much
Trump.
Money.
Look at the interest he's paying on his fine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there's endless money.
Yep.
And then suddenly they got an anchor. I mean, they threw out a life preserver and the other guys, the SSG, the other owners of Red Sox and other franchises came together and said, well, we got
PGA Tour Superstores.
We could help you out.
Arthur Blank.
And if you've been reading, Frank, here's the interesting part, is people are still saying, and our good friend Bob Herrick with SI, who was on with us last week, you keep reading what he's saying, and a lot of the articles are coming out, and they're going, we still haven't figured out, and nobody's explained, how are these guys, John Henry with the Red Sox and Steve Cohen with the Met, all
what's the ROI?
That are putting, where are they going to make their money? Where is that?
And that question is going to come up in the next board meeting, I can promise you.
It better, right? I mean, these guys don't get rich by just kind of being nice.
Think about this.
Throw you some money.
Think about this. They're involved now with the PGA Tour, and they want to meet with Yasser.
Mm-hmm.
There are other things in play here besides the PGA Tour.
And I would think so.
Yeah.
At that level.
That bucket of money, at that level with those guys, and that bucket of money sitting over there in the public investment fund,
they can
own sport in the world. And that's,
Correct. And
Yasser, they're looking
and
to
they're
divest.
Doing a lot of it. They're doing a lot of it, right? They're buying soccer teams and soccer players and everything and artwork.
But I'm saying the SSG wants to. So they both have the same goal. And the PGA Tour was nothing more than that was a down payment on the future for SSG is what it was to get them in bed with Yasser. Because they get control. They can control the PGA Tour. They can do what the hell they want to do.
Sure.
And it has nothing to do with Monahan. It has nothing to do with Camp Pontevedra at that point.
Well, but and by the way, just so we don't
– And I'm not trying to piss them off down there. Yeah.
No. I'm not – and I don't want to get off topic for people listening. There was no resolution, by the way. It happened in Bahamas. It was a kind of a meet and agree.
Meet and greet,
everybody seems like everybody's happy and okay, here we go. But there was nothing decided. So, I mean, just put that out there so we don't – we're not like teasing you along that –
something was drastic happened. It's just kind of guys getting together. But I agree with you. When you're talking billionaires and multi-billionaires and that kind of money, if you're in that room with those guys, and Arthur Blanks with Atlanta Falcons is out there, and a lot of these guys also,
Home
a lot
Depot.
Of these U.S. sports team owners are investing in Premier League and sports around the world and doing different things too. So yes, does it seem like this might be, and the narrative that the Saudis were evil and dirty, right? That kind of came out during the beginning of the whole LIV tour. None of these guys think that. None of them think that. They've all been happy to do business with Saudis. I mean, there's only There's only a couple of countries that I think these people would not do business with, right? Russia comes to mind. But I mean, other than that,
without them, we wouldn't have any bases in the Middle East, and we'd be in a bad way of hurt. Yeah. Israel would be gone.
Yeah,
without them. So to do business with
the Saudis, I think is right in the wheelhouse for these billionaires saying, okay, so what else can we do since you've got $1 trillion that you want to spend, like sharks, right, circling the ship? What else? What other chum do you want to throw into the water that we
That's
might
exactly
all
what's going on? But again,
from.
It's going to take all the politics out of it now that Monahan reports to that board,
right.
The SSG, they're going to do what they want to do. And it doesn't matter what Monahan wants to do at this point. And I'm not trying to down the tour. I mean, we've been part of the tour for a long time. Started with them. We all
did. It's true. It's just the truth.
And I like the guys, but it's just the truth. And what's going on now is just business. It's no longer the PGA Tour and charity and this and that. This is business now.
And think about this too, Frank, is in Monahan's case, he's very quickly – going from being his own boss and really owning nothing to anybody. I mean, I know there was a board, but it was his self-appointed board, right? There's all
yes.
To now, he's going to have the bosses of the SSG and the PIF.
And the PGA right? Tour. And the players.
Are going to all kind of – so Monahan's definitely diminished. And if he's willing to, and I guess maybe he is, he's still hanging, that he's not going to necessarily be the – and I don't mean this in a bad way, but it does.
Grand Poobah?
Well, he's not going to be the dictator that he could be before, right? That I can do this and do this. And he's going to have people to answer to, and it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
It's going to be different. It's going to be very, very different. Yeah.
He has not had to deal with that for more than a decade, you know? So,
neither did Fincham and neither did Beeman, you know? They didn't.
Right.
And now it's a different world. They're now into the world of real sport.
Yeah.
You know, it's
and mega money, right? Mega money. You know that these guys are, they don't mess around.
Remember the line in the movie Bobby Jones, Stroke of Genius, when I think it was Malcolm McDowell who was playing O.B. Keeler in the movie. They're in the bar, and he turns to Bobby Jones's dad and says, "Money's going to ruin sport."
Yeah.
That was a great line, and it I don't know if it ruins it. It changes it. That's a fact.
You can look at college sports now too, right?
Oh, geez, don't
these guys are getting
don't.
Nick Saban getting money and everything.
We're going all over the board here, but this Saban, he said it like it was. His wife looked at him. Why are we doing this? All they come in now, they don't care about what are you going to do for my child to make him a better man and get him ready for the world and all that. How much are you going to pay us? How much are you going to pay us?
Yeah.
And he said that's when he decided I'm done. I'm done with this.
Well, money does a lot of things, and it does some good things.
Yeah.
Hopefully. And that'll be interesting too. But by the way, in the battle, if you will, of PGA Tour and LIV Tour.
Yeah.
And the LIV Tour's next event we talked about was happening in Valspar. They're coming at Miami, where you met with a lot of those guys a year ago at the LIV Tour in Miami.
Yeah.
That's coming up April 5th. That'll be the next tournament at Trump National.
Yes.
But in that battle of, okay, how much money is out there and what John Rahm's now getting, all these other guys for every tournament, $4 million and everything, Scottie Scheffler. Just so if you stay on the PGA Tour and you do well,
well,
Scotty Scheffler the last couple of weeks has won over $8 million the last couple of weeks. Well, so there is money to be made. It's not like all the big money is
two designated events, okay?
Yeah, right. But that's not – and you win them, and so you earn it, and that's cool. But
that
just shows you.
Can they maintain that going forward?
Know.
And that's going to be the question for all of us.
And does it trickle down?
Yeah.
You know, you got to – because, again, you only – have so many signature events. You only have so many players on the PGA Tour that can go to the PGA.
I said designated, didn't I?
Right.
Signature event, I should say.
They've changed the name 7 times. So.
I know.
But there's only so many guys on the PGA Tour who can play in the signature events. So, yes, the rich get richer, and that's kind of what a lot of talk was when back 2-3 years ago when Tiger and Rory were kind of the big kings. That's a lot of what they were saying is, yeah, the great ones, us, need to get rewarded better. And that pissed off a lot of the working man PGA Tour players. But that's what they were saying is we're not getting enough to be the faces of the PGA Tour. And
that was Phil's big beef, media rights and all that.
Yeah.
And it was money.
And you've noticed, by the way, that Rory is so flipped his stance. He backed off of the advisory board, right, for the PGA Tour. So he was not in the Bahamas, as far as we know, was not in the Bahamas. But he's all about everybody getting together, getting along. He's literally said, we need the PIF. And I think he's thinking like a billionaire going, if they want money or they want to spend money, why not spend it with us? We could use more money. Let's figure out a way to make that work, right? Which is not at all what he was saying a year ago.
No,
but that's what he's saying now. And that's what I think is all trying to figure that out too, is how do we get a piece of this open spigot of Saudi Arabian money that's coming out? How do we get some of that, right? And how do we make that better?
Well,
and
actually, hopefully that's not Saudi Arabian money. That's world money. That's our money. That's England's money. That's Germany's money. That we're spending it with them buying their oil.
Okay. Well,
so it's our money. Let's look at it that way. We're spending our own money. Okay.
It's not like W.G. Wentworth or whatever those commercials are. It's my money. I want it now.
Scam artists, yeah.
Wouldn't it be intriguing, though, Frank, to be in a meeting with somebody who has billions of dollars and they're like, man, we want to figure out a way to spread that to you. And you'd be sitting there like this, tapping your foot on the floor going, okay, I'm coming up with a lot of ideas. What can I do? What's going to make you say yes that you want to do this?
I would probably poo my pants.
Okay, right there, you know. After I did that,
I go clean up and say, hi, yeah, let me.
But you try to figure out a way, like, okay, how do we get some, right?
We tried to do with this show forever. Let's look at the money that it goes out to a tour event weekly. And if I better not go down this rabbit hole.
Okay.
You know how I get about that. I mean, all we wanted was a certain amount and couldn't get it. And that's why we formed our own network. But, you know, it is what it is.
By the way, as we get ready to sign off here, and you mentioned that, I want to mention too that I was at a media day for the Invited Celebrity Classic. That's the senior tour event that's coming to the Dallas-Fort Worth area at Las Colinas Country Club, April 19th through the 21st. And there was a media event which is a bit bizarre, right? It's a hockey tournament. Yeah. I mean, it's a hockey ice rink that we were at where the Dallas Stars play. But it was about the Invited Celebrity Golf Tournament. So they had some Tim Brown, former Heisman Trophy winner, and DeMarcus Spears, a couple of former NFL players, Mark Hensby, who won last year, the defending champion, Rodriguez, who is a Hall of Famer with the Texas Rangers catcher. They were there to hit a golf ball with a hockey stick from mid ice into a little opening in the goal. Yeah. So 80 feet away, there's a goal. They're trying to raise money for charity and do all this stuff. And also there was David Pillsbury, who is the CEO of Invited Clubs.
Yes.
And so we talked to him, and we'll have him on in the next few weeks leading up to that tournament. And then when we do the tournament the week of, we'll have him on the show there as well, too. Very nice guy and very friendly.
Great guy.
And runs the entire Invited Club, who is our title sponsor, and we're so appreciative of everything that Invited Clubs do for us.
Absolutely.
So be sure to check them out, invitedclubs.com, and you can find a club near you and be part of this wonderful family that, fortunately, Frank and I are part of, and you can be too, which would be great.
Did you have a chance to see Mike Flasky there?
No, I did not.
Okay.
I don't know who he is.
He used to be the CEO of Diamond Resorts.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think he helped them put that on, and he's a hockey.
Is that right?
Yeah, okay. He's a hockey nut, so that explains a little bit of it to me.
But it's also put on by Choctaw Casino.
Oh, yeah.
Choctaw Casino is right over the border of Texas and Oklahoma. And that they're like, I guess that they're not the title sponsor because I guess Invited Clubs is, but they're like right below them. So everything is Choctaw this, Choctaw that. So they had some people there from the casino world. Anyway, so it was a neat event, a little bit unique that these guys are out there. DeMarcus Ware is who I was thinking of. Sorry.
DeMarcus Ware, yeah.
Yeah, the former.
I was trying to help you. I was going blind.
Yeah. And so it's kind of funny because none of them really play hockey or stand on the ice much. So it was a unique little media day that we had. But anyways, it was fun and nice. And
hey, one other thing I want to tell you I got to do last week is I went and took the driver challenge with PXG.
Where did you do that?
I did it here in town. My fitter that's here, Travis Rowe, great, great young man. He's a really good player. But he's worked with me. He changes shafts and tweaks things and all sorts of stuff for me. Well, you know, I've had some issues, so I couldn't really swing quite as hard as I really wanted to and push off with that left foot.
Yep.
The new Black Ops driver. We're going to talk more about it in the coming weeks. But the PXG's new Black Ops driver, I picked up 5 miles per hour in ball speed.
Did you really?
Yes. Yes.
And I played it
against some of my other drivers that I have. I'm a PXG brand ambassador, and I love the product. But I played it against, and I'm not going to say the names right now. We'll get into it later when I make sure I can get it cleared that I can say those names. But I picked up 5. I mean, it was unbelievable. And I was thrilled in the thing. Sounds good. It feels good. It looks good. And so it's on its way to me. They're building it in Scottsdale and sending it to me.
Very nice. So,
yeah.
Cool. Well, let me ask you this. Are you a guy who wants to – I mean, I know you want to try, but do you want to have a different driver every year?
No, I don't.
And want to just find one and you'll keep it for at least a few years? Or do you like to change it out?
Well, you know, I'm fortunate enough because of what we do, and yourself too, you are, that we get to play new things all the time and get sent things and get asked to look at things. And so I'm a tweaker and a tinkerer and a kind of a techie anyway guy, and I like that. I like messing around with it to see if it'll help me. But there are certain things like a putter that I putt with, which is a PXG putter, by the way. But they're going to have to pry that out of my cold, dead hands.
Yeah.
Because it just works.
Well, that's kind of what I think. We do get a perk of a lot of free equipment, but that sometimes can be a detriment because it's, let me try this.
Sure,
and you're like, okay, you go backwards. You're like, no, the one you had was the one that was kind of, you're hitting great.
Yeah.
But because it's now a year old or 2 years, and so it's a tough thing to fight. It's almost like the tour guys at a much different level, but the tour guys could change everything every week if they wanted to.
Yeah.
At some point, you gotta like, okay, I'm done tweaking. Like if I'm Scottie Scheffler, I wouldn't touch another club forever.
Yeah,
right? Just like keep doing what I'm doing.
He's got that mallet putter going now. So, one of my contacts at PXG in Scottsdale, great, great individual that I love her to death. She sent me a note the other day and said, hey, are you in Orlando for Bay Hill? If you are, go to the truck. I'll call them. And, you know, if you need something made, have them make up some of the new Black Ops hybrids and 3-wood and 4-wood for you while you're there. Because they have all my specs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, gosh, I'm not there. I almost got on a plane and went down there just for that.
Right.
But I'm not a Bay Hill fan. I hate that golf course. It's a fabulous golf course. I hate it for my game.
Well,
It's tough for a lot of people. Tough course.
Yeah.
But anyway, we'll talk more about PXG's new Black Ops driver challenge and what they're doing. But it's, man, I love the driver. I can't wait to get my hands on it.
Are you going to see the trailer guys at Augusta, I would imagine?
I am. Yeah, I am. Yeah, I'm going to see them there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and we're going to spend some time with them there in Augusta, and they're probably going to come to Azalea House with us. So,
Can you talk them into getting me a putter? I'd like to try a putter.
You need to go. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure. Sure, I can.
Well, there's a PXG fitting place here, but I've never.
Yeah. You need to let me get it set up.
If I just went in there and said Frank Bassett, that may not do anything for me.
No, I got a better name than that.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's the guy who owns the joint, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, Bob Parsons. But and speaking of guys who've done well, I mean Bob.
Bob
gave him an unlimited budget. Let's go build the best clubs that can be built, period. And
it's a smaller scale of what we're talking about with Live Tour, right? I mean, people that have a lot of money can get a lot of things done.
Bob can kind of do anything he wants.
Yeah.
He's doing really good for himself.
Yeah.
But anyway.
And people at the time, by the way, just making a correlation, people at the time were saying, well, there's no way the PXG company, whoever they are going to make any money. Look at the money. It's ridiculous what they're spending. And they're hiring all the best people from all the other manufacturers. That's just ridiculous, right? Remember that? Bob Parsons' guy just blowing money. He doesn't care.
Well, that's when I was part of the Titleist team, remember?
Yeah. But he had to get in the game, right? He's like, okay, if this is what it takes for me to kind of get into the golf game, I'm going to have to buy great stuff. I'm going to get great people. And eventually it'll all, he didn't do it to lose money. He did it just the way Live Golf is like, all right, we're into the game. Yes, it's costing us a lot, but we're here for the long haul.
Yeah.
Right.
So he had a business plan. It seems to have worked out. And if folks, if you have not been into a PXG store, look, go to pxg.com, find one close to you. Go to the experience of going to their shop. And we don't have one in Nashville. They were going to put one here. They haven't yet. But you have fitters all over the country that are based at certain country clubs.
Yeah.
And you can go get a fitting for, I don't know how much they're charging now, hardly nothing. And it's comped if you buy something. So you got to check it out. I'm just, you know, I'm a big fan of their product. I'm just a huge fan. And if you walked into my garage right now, you would understand why. There's a bunch of golf bags that say PXG on them out there with a lot of clubs in them.
PXG.com, right? Their website?
PXG.com.
There you go. Find out everything you need.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Frank,
well, let's
I'm going to go play
here.
Golf. I'm going to go hit it.
Are you? Where are you playing?
Yep. Dallas National. So, should be fun.
Oh.
I'm hoping.
Oh, big time
of
me. Okay. All right. Who are you playing with?
Just a couple of guys that actually, a guy that I just met who, long story short, anyway, he invited me to come play. I'd never met him until about 2 weeks ago. So I said, he goes, well, we didn't need to go around. Oh. Okay, let's do it.
Oh, great.
So,
get me a
shirt. So we're doing it. Yeah.
Get me a shirt.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to the show. We appreciate it. Yeah, like you need another shirt. Thanks to Mark Zucchino for joining us and taking some time out of his busy transatlantic schedule to talk with us as well. And be sure to join us next time. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. We do appreciate all your time. And be with us next time right here on Golf Talk America.